Chapter 17. How long have they been on our tail? Giardino asked, rubbing 3 hours of sleep from his eyes and focusing on the image emanating within the radar screen.
I spotted them about 75 kilometers back, just after we passed into Malian territory, answered Pitt.
He stood to one side of the wheel, casually steering with his right hand.
You get a look at their armament?
No, the boat was concealed 100 meters up a branch of the river.
I caught a hard reflection on the surface radar that looked suspicious. Soon as we passed out of sight around a bend, they pulled into the channel and began chasing our wake.
Might be only a routine patrol.
Routine patrols don't hide under camouflaged netting.
Giardino studied the distance scale on the radar.
They're making no attempt to narrow the gap.
Just biding their time.
Poor old gunboat, Giardino said sorrowfully. It doesn't know it's about to go to that great scrapyard in the sky.
Sad to say there are complications, said Pitt slowly.
The gunboat isn't the only bloodhound on the scent.
They have friends?
The Malian military has thrown out the steel welcome mat.
Pitt twisted his body and looked up at the flawless blue afternoon sky that was barren of clouds. A flight of Malian fighter jets is circling the sky to the east of us.
Giardino caught sight of them at once. The blazing sun glinted off their cockpit canopies.
French Mirage fighters, the newer modified model, I reckon. Seven of them, less than 6 kilometers away.
Pitt twisted again and pointed across the river to the west.
And that dust cloud beyond that range of hills running along the shoreline, that belongs to a convoy of armored cars.
How many? Giardino asked as he mentally inventoried his remaining missiles.
I counted 4 when they raced across a stretch of open ground.
No tanks?
Our speed is 30 knots. Tanks couldn't keep up with us.
We won't be surprising anyone this time, said Giardino matter-of-factly. Word of our bite has preceded us.
An obvious deduction, judging by their reluctance to come within our effective range.
The question that comes to mind is when will old what's-his-name?
Zateb Kazim?
Whoever, Giardino shrugged indifferently. When will he sound the charge?
If he's smarter than that comic strip admiral of the Benin Navy, and he wants to confiscate the Calliope for his own pleasure, all he has to do is wait us out. Eventually, we'll run out of river.
And fuel.
That, too.
Pitt went silent and gazed at the wide, lazy Niger wandering through the sandy plain. The yellow-gold sun was creeping toward the horizon as blue and white storks winged the hot afternoon air or strolled the shallows on long, stick-like legs. A school of Nile perch leaped in the air and sparkled like miniature fireworks as the Calliope chased them over the placid water. A pinnace glided past on its way downriver, hull stained black with colorful painted designs on its double-ender bow and stern, its sail barely filled under a whisper of wind. A few of the crew slept on a cargo of rice sacks under a frayed awning while others poled with the current. All was serene and picturesque. Pitt found it hard to believe death and destruction skirted their course up the river.
Giardino broke Pitt's reverie.
Didn't you mention that woman you met in Egypt was going to Mali?
Pitt nodded.
She's connected with the UN team from the World Health Organization. They were flying to Mali to investigate a strange epidemic that had broken out among the desert villages.
Too bad you can't rendezvous with her, said Giardino, smiling.
You could sit under a desert moon with your arm around her, whisper of your exploits in her ear, and sift sand.
If that's your idea of a hot date, no wonder you bat zero.
How else can you entertain a geologist?
Biochemist, Pitt corrected him.
Giardino's expression suddenly turned serious.
Did it ever occur to you that she and her scientist buddies might be looking for the same toxin we are?
The thought crossed my mind.
At that moment, Rudy Gunn hustled up from his lab below, his face haggard but broken by a wide grin.
Got it, he announced triumphantly.
Giardino looked at him, not comprehending.
Got what?
Gunn didn't answer. He just smiled and smiled.
Pitt knew almost immediately.
You found it?
The glop that's exciting the red tides, Giardino muttered.
Gunn nodded.
Pitt pumped his hand.
Congratulations, Rudy.
I was almost ready to give up, said Gunn, but my negligence opened the door.
I've been putting hundreds of water samples through the gas chromatograph and haven't been checking on the inner workings as often as I should. When I finally took a look at the results, I found a coating of cobalt inside the instrument's test column. I was shocked to see a metal was being extracted with synthetic organic pollutants and finding its way into the gas chromatograph. After frantic hours of experiments, modifications, and tests, I identified an exotic organometallic compound that's a combination of an altered synthetic amino acid and cobalt.
Sounds Greek to me, shrugged Giordino. What's an amino acid?
The stuff proteins are made of.
How can it get in the river? Asked Pitt.
Can't say, replied Gunn. My guess is the synthetic amino acid came from a genetic engineering biotechnology laboratory whose wastes are being dumped along with chemical and nuclear wastes at the source area. For it to naturally mix into the vicious pollutant that's causing the red tides after reaching the sea seems remote. I believe it's forming at a common location.
Could it be a dump site with nuclear waste, too?
Gunn nodded.
I'm finding fairly high readings of radiation in the water. It's only another portion of the overall pollution and has no relation to our contaminants' qualities, but there is a definite connection.
Pitt didn't reply, but looked again into the radar screen at the image of the gunboat, still out of eyesight astern. If anything, it had dropped farther back. He turned and scanned the sky for the fighter jets. They were still lazily clawing at the sky, conserving their fuel while keeping a distant watch over the Calliope. The river had widened to several kilometers, and he lost sight of the armored cars.
Our job is only half done, he said. The next exercise is to target where the toxin enters the Niger. The Malians don't seem in any hurry to harass us, so we'll continue our survey upstream and attempt to wrap this thing up before they slam the door.
With our data transmission system kaput, how do we get the results to Chapman and Sandecker? Asked Giordino.
I'll figure something.
Gunn placed his trust in Pitt without hesitation. He nodded without speaking and returned to his cabin lab. Pitt thankfully turned over the helm to Giordino while he stretched out on a deck mat under the cockpit canopy and caught up on his lost sleep. When he woke up, the sun's orange ball was a third down over the horizon, and yet the air felt 10 degrees warmer. A quick check of the radar showed the gunboat was still dogging their stern, but the watchdog fighter jets were on a course back to their base to refuel. They were getting cocky, Pitt surmised. The Malians must have thought their quarry was in the bag. Why else would the fighters depart without being relieved by another flight? As he rose to his feet and stretched his arms and shoulders, Giordino handed him a mug of coffee.
Here, this should wake you up. Good Egyptian coffee with mud on the bottom of the cup.
How long was I in dreamland?
You were dead to the world for a little over 2 hours.
Have we passed Gao?
Cruised past the city about 50 kilometers back. You missed seeing a floating villa with a bevy of bikini-clad beauties throwing kisses to me from the railings.
You're putting me on. Giordino held up 3 fingers.
Scout's honor.
It was the fanciest houseboat I've ever laid eyes on.
Is Rudy still reading strong toxin levels?
Giordino nodded.
He says the concentration gets hotter with each passing kilometer.
We must be close.
He thinks we're almost on top of the stuff.
Just for an instant, something flickered deep in Pitt's eyes. A sudden gleam, almost as if something was created, something imagined that reflected from inside his brain. Giordino always knew when Pitt departed reality and traveled to some unknown destination. With a blink of his opaline eyes, all recognition was gone, replaced with a view of another scene. Giordino stared at him curiously.
I don't like that look.
Pitt came back down to earth.
Just thinking of a way to keep the Calliope from a despotic backwater jerk who wants it for his drunken orgies?
And how do you expect to erase the possessive gleam in Kazim's eye?
Pitt smiled like a reincarnated Fagin.
By conjuring up a dirty scheme to defeat his expectations. Shortly before sunset, Gunn called from below.
We've crossed into clean water. The contamination just disappeared off my instruments.
Pitt and Giordino immediately turned their heads and scouted both shores.
The river at this point ran on a slight angle from west of north to east of south. There were no villages or bordering roads to be seen. Only desolation met the eyes,
level and barren without disruption all the way to the four horizons.
Empty, muttered Giordino. Empty as a shaven armpit. Gunn emerged, staring back over the stern.
See anything?
Look for yourself. Giordino swung an arm like a compass. The cupboard's bare, nothing but sand.
We have a break in the geology to the east, said Pitt, motioning at a wide ravine dividing the shore. Looks as though it once carried water. Not in our lifetime, said Gunn. Appears to have been a tributary into the main channel during wetter centuries. Giordino studied the ancient stream bed solemnly. Rudy must have tuned in a video game. There's no contamination entering the river here. Swing around and make another run so I can recheck my data, said Gunn. Pitt complied and ran several lanes back and forth as if mowing a lawn, beginning close to the shore and working out into the channel toward the opposite bank until his props churned silt on the rising bottom. The radar showed the tailing gunboat had stopped, the captain and his officers probably wondering what the crew of the Calliope was up to. Gunn popped his head through the hatch after the final run. Swear to God, the highest concentration of toxin comes from the mouth of that big wash on the east bank. They all stared dubiously at the centuries-old dry riverbed. The rock-strewn bottom curled northward toward a range of low dunes in the desert wasteland. No one spoke as Pitt set the throttles on idle and let the yacht drift with the current. No evidence of toxic residue beyond this point? Questioned Pitt.
None, Gunn answered flatly.
The concentration goes off scale just below the old wash and then disappears upstream.
Maybe it's a natural byproduct of the soil, offered Giordino.
This ungodly compound can't be produced by nature, muttered Gunn. I promise you that.
How about an underground drainage pipe running from a chemical plant beyond the dunes, Pitt speculated.
Gunn shrugged. Can't tell without further investigation. This is as far as we can go. We've kept our end of the bargain. Now it's up to contamination specialists to pick up the rest of the pieces.
Pitt gazed over the stern at the gunboat that had crept into view. Our hounds are getting nosy. Not bright of us to show them what devilment we're about. We'd best continue on course as though we're still taking in the scenery.
Some scenery, grunted Giordino. Death Valley is a garden spot compared to this.
Pitt pushed the throttles forward, and the Calliope lifted her bow and surged ahead with a mellow roar from her exhaust. In less than 2 minutes, the Malian gunboat was left far in the yacht's spreading wake.
Now, he thought, comes the fun part.